This is week two of our series that we're calling It Is Well. And this conversation that we're having is personal. And it's a conversation about the health and the well-being of our souls. And as we kind of defined it last week from the book of Psalms, all that is within me, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. So the inner you, the true you, the spiritual you, the internal and eternal you, the part of you that really, really, really counts, not the surfacey, superficial kind of identity that a lot of us just accrue through this shallow, superficial world. It's just the way things are. Like, everything is what you look like and what you have, what you don't have, and what you do. It's not you. You're far more than that. And so this is a conversation about that aspect, that dimension of who we are. And as 3 John 2 says, you'll prosper on the outside as you prosper in your soul. And so it's such an important conversation, and I'm happy to be having it for the next several weeks. We began the series with a question, really, last week. And the question was, how's your soul doing? How is your soul? I wanted to take some time today with spending some time on my answer to that question. So we're making this all about me. My answer to this question is this. How's your soul doing? It's complicated. That's my answer. It's complicated. And do you remember when they added that to the relationship status on Facebook? So what's your relationship status? It's complicated. That's my answer to the question, how's your soul doing? And maybe we can all identify with that to some degree, but it's complicated. So what's complicated? Am I complicated? Is my soul complicated? Is trying to describe how my soul's doing complicated? Well, the answer to all those questions is yes. 100% yes. Yes, true. I am complicated. My life is complicated. My soul is complicated. Trying to describe my soul in any way and kind of how it's doing is complicated. And so I talked about last week the fact that we're going to be reading a lot of Psalms, spending a lot of time in this book of Psalms throughout this series. And today I want to read two back to back. And the famous 42nd Psalm and also Psalm 43, I want to read those in succession today. And if you got a Bible, you can turn there. It's right about right in the middle. And so Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. And as you're turning there, and we're also going to put it on the screen, but I wanted to read this. This is a quote. There's a really lovely and helpful translation of the Bible that I love. I really enjoy. It's called The Message. And if you're not familiar with it, come see me after church. I'll give you one. I have some here, and I'll give you one. They're so good. And so the author of that translation of the Bible is a gentleman. He's passed away since, but his name is Eugene Peterson. Just a brilliant guy. And there's a video on YouTube of him and his wife having Bono over for cookies, which is just bonkers to me. But they're just buddies. And Eugene Peterson's like, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know who you were. And when you reached out to me, I'm like, how charming is that? And also, what rock are you living under? So Eugene Peterson said this about the book of Psalms. Everything that a person can possibly feel, experience, and say is brought into expression before God in the Psalms. Yes. So all the ups and the downs and the highs and the lows, and as complicated as our souls are, it's all in there. It's all in there, and it expresses that. It talks about how complicated life is openly and honestly throughout the Psalms. And so I wanted to read these two. So Psalm 42, 43, these are believed to be, I'm reading these together because they're believed to be one continuous song. So Psalm 42 is sort of the first two choruses and the first two verses of a song, and then Psalm 43 is sort of the last chorus, last verse. And so this is how it goes. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have become my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the multitudes and lead them in procession to the house of God with a voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. O my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of the Jordan, the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me at night. A prayer to the God of my life. I shall say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. And then we go to Psalm 43, the last part here. Vindicate me, O God. Plead my case against an ungodly nation. Deliver me from deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my strength. You have rejected. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill in your dwelling place. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. Upon the lyre I shall praise you, O God, my God. Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall praise him again, the help of my countenance and my God. These are, like I said, this is one song. And these are two psalms credited to the sons of Korah. And the sons of Korah, it was a Levitical family that was in charge of basically leading worship in the temple. So these were the temple worship leaders serving under King David. Historians, Bible scholars, primarily believe that these particular psalms were commissioned, though written by the sons of Korah. The belief is these are the words of David set to music, the heartbreak of David. He is at this point in his life on the lam. He is in hiding because of the conflict with his son Absalom, which caused a rift in the country of Israel, in the nation of Israel. And it's a very tumultuous, difficult time. And so this is believed to be his words set to song, but I think either way, whosever words they are, they're my words. There's something that resonates in these verses to me. I count in these verses 10 heartfelt questions asked of God. Just absolute desperate heartfelt questions asked of God by the writer. And then I counted, there might be more, I just taken some time this week. I counted 8 changes of emotional direction. A zig and a zag. Ups and downs. In this one song, I counted 8 changes, dramatic changes of emotional direction. It's like the writer here is saying, I've got more questions than answers. I've got more emotions, thoughts, feelings than I know what to do with. It's like deep down, I know God's faithful, but I'm not feeling it. So the proclamation in these psalms is, God, you're good. Your loving kindness is amazing, but I am just not feeling it right now. That's not the vibe I'm getting, to quote the kiddos. There's times I just don't feel it. In other words, it's complicated. Life is complicated. Our hearts, our souls, our minds, our brains, our circumstances are complicated. And a lot of us can relate to that. I mean, I'd say probably all of us have more questions than we have answers. I'd say that most all of us have more thoughts and feelings and emotions going on the inside of us throughout the day than we can probably handle. I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to sleep most of the time. And that's because my brain does not have an off switch. I haven't found it. It just won't stop because my brain's complicated. I grew up in and around a lot of religious folks, a lot of good religious folks. I don't want this to be a negative. But I found that what religion tends to try to do, it tries to oversimplify things. And so even if you were to kind of start baring your soul and explaining how complicated life is, I always got this kind of pushback, this religious sensibility that just kind of put everything into binary categories. It's like, there's good, there's bad, there's evil, there's holy, there's secular, there's Christian, there's blessing, there's curse, there's do, and there's don't do. There's just very simplistic language used. And so if you try to express what's going on, it's like, well, keep your head up. God's good all the time. God is good. It's like, yeah, but I'm not feeling that way right now. It's like the Bible in that setting is just reduced to this religious playbook. It's this rule book, this religious playbook. And we're all just X's and O's. And it's like, just play your part. Don't make it complicated. Just stick with the playbook. Stick with the program. It's all going to be good. He's going to work all things out for your good. And I don't know about you, but in church, a lot of times it feels like you don't want to hear about the negative. You just want to hear the good. Even testimonies, we'd have testimony night or hear people come in and share their testimony. And it's always like really bad, really bad, really bad, and then perfect. It's like, well, that's not my story. My story is really, really bad, kind of good, worse, really good. Oh my God, where are you? Amazing. It depends on the day. I don't have this steady progression to an amazing life. I've got a rocky roller coaster that is just... I remember there was a place called Carowinds in Charlotte, North Carolina, or just south of, that I go to with friends. And one of the coolest experiences at that theme park, I don't know why I'm bringing this up, but just bear with me. It's Nostalgia Day. We're singing songs from 1993. Just go with me on this. Probably around 1993, I was at Carowinds, and there was a movie that had just come out a year or two prior called Wayne's World. And they made a section of the park at Carowinds is a Paramount theme park, Wayne's World. So that was the whole theme of this section of the park. I'm like, this is heaven. This is the greatest thing ever. And they had a roller coaster. It was a wooden roller coaster made to feel like an old one, but it was new. It was called the Hurler. And so I rode it because you're supposed to love it. And it's Wayne's World. It's awesome. And that roller coaster beat the poopy out of you. I mean, you get off it, you're like, you're walking funny. You're like, good God in heaven. Like bruises on my earlobe. What is happening? Sir, did you get all your belongings? Well, I left my elbow. Can you just beat the heaven out of you? And it made you hurl in pain afterwards. And to me, it's like, that's what life does. There's this pressure in church where it's like, you come and like, holy, holy, holy. How you doing, sir? I'm blessed and highly favored. All right. How are you? Did I get beat up by the hurler, man? all week. Now, the Bible certainly has rules in it. You don't have to look far. You can find them. And it certainly has instructions and directions, and this is how life works best. But you also find a lot of very honest confessions of confusion and frustration and doubt and fear and anxiety and worry and pressure. You find all that. In fact, everything you can feel, you can find just in the Psalms. Unfortunately, when life feels that way, you got more questions than you got answers. You got more feelings and thoughts than you know what to do with. And life's taking a toll on your soul. For whatever reason, it just, you look around and it feels like everybody else is doing great. Like, how come no one else has problems? Or how come everyone's problems are manageable? I don't know. I get a late fee on a bill that I think that I paid on time, and I lose my mind. I'm like, I am not paying this $8. Let me speak to your manager. I turn into that. But for whatever reason, it feels like everyone else is pulling this thing off with no problems, and we're the exception. I don't know that anything makes you feel more alone than that. When you're facing a mountain that you can't climb and you feel like you're the only one standing at the base of the mountain that can't climb it. I don't know that anything makes you feel more alone than God gave me a life. I know I should feel blessed. I should feel grateful because I've got so much. And that's what people, they try to get you to focus on the positive. I do that. I do that all the time with people. I'm like, have you considered all the good things that are going on? And then afterwards, I'm like, oh, that wasn't the right thing to say. I wanted to take some time today, and really, if you hear nothing else, hear this. You're not alone. If you have more questions than answers, you're definitely not alone. If you have more thoughts and feelings and you know how to handle and where to put that in process, you are definitely not alone. This church is not a place where people have to wear a mask and pretend it's all good. This is a place where we can actually kind of let your gut out. You don't have to suck in your gut here. You can show up with hair undid. I do it every week. You can show up here, no makeup, sweatpants. Burke and I were driving to church this morning, and I just hear her say, hey, nice Christmas jammies. College kid just walking, living life with Christmas jammies on. I was like, tis the season, I guess. You can wear your Christmas jammies. I don't care. This is a place where we're all in this together. I grew up in church where you had to have it together. And this is a place where we're in it together. None of us have it together. And you're definitely not alone. I'm a problem solver by nature. One of my favorite shows of all times is MacGyver. And I fancy myself a bit of a MacGyver with less hair. No mullet, but I instinctually try to solve a problem. If I see it, you got a problem, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while the DJ revolves it. Ice, ice, baby. Okay. Man, I'm in the 90s today. I'm sorry. I apologize. I found this to be true, and my wife's helped me with this, that way more helpful to people in the middle of seasons where they feel overwhelmed, burdened, and up against it, way more helpful than hearing, you know what you should do? You know what you need to do? Way more helpful than that is to say these three words, yeah, me too. That helps way more than, you know what you need to do? Sonia will tell me a problem that she's facing, experiencing, feeling, and I instinctually am like, okay, let me fix it for you. And I thought, I'm the knight in shining armor showing up on this horseback, And she's like, no, dummy. I'm like, why are you telling me the problem if you don't want me to fix it? I want you to sit with me in it. I don't want to be alone in it. And for a while there, I'm like, you don't know what you're doing. That's not how you handle problems. But then I came to her with some problems, and I knew exactly what she meant. And then she tried to fix my problems. I'm like, ha, 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 she was on the other foot. Yeah, me too. In the moments leading up to Jesus' arrest, you get this very vivid depiction of this garden called Gethsemane, and Jesus is obviously anticipating a brutal couple of days. And so he's got his friends with him, the ones that are left. And he asks his friends to keep watch as he spends some time with the Father and prays. And he confesses to them this statement. He says, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. That's Jesus. And Jesus is saying, I'm experiencing anxiety and heartbreak and loneliness. I'm feeling it. The betrayal. And then he goes back to his friends, his closest friends, who he said, please just keep watch. And they keep falling asleep. They can't stay awake for 10 minutes while he's going through the most brutal moment of his existence. Talk about loneliness. He's going through heartbreak. His soul is deeply grieved. What that means to me is that he knows exactly how you feel. He's felt it. He's not this sky deity, separate, detached, just watching us like he's got a radar gun at a speed trap waiting for us to speed so he can just hit us with a ticket, let us know what we're doing wrong. He's someone that ran to the bottom, sank to the lowest point, and felt exactly how we feel. There's a commentary that says that, of course, the Bible talks about how he sweat blood in that moment. And there is precedence to that, where so much worry, so much fear, anxiety, where you're trembling to the point where capillaries beneath your skin start bursting, and then from your sweat pores come blood. Now, there is something to that, how Jesus, through his blood, redeemed our work, our sweat. It's no longer by the sweat of our brow. But I think, just in a practical sense, he's scared out of his mind. I don't think that a lot of people like talking about Jesus that way. They want to talk about, I remember the t-shirt that we all wore back in the late 80s, and it said, the Lord's gym, and he's holding up the cross, and he's all like ripped, and like, ugh. We like strong Samson Jesus. But if you really understand the cross, he was brutalized to the point you couldn't look up at the cross and say, that's a person. Jesus knows how you feel. He's been there. He's felt the weight of it. He's felt the consequence of it. And that's exactly where he meets you. That place is exactly where he meets you. And as he meets us, from the bottom of his heart, this is what he says to all of us. Yeah, me too. Jesus, my heart's broken. And Jesus says to you, yeah, me too. Empathy is a powerful thing, to have someone to really genuinely empathize and understand what you're going through, sit with you in it. There's no human, there's no counselor, there's no family member, there's no one that can empathize as much as Jesus, who stood in your shoes. He had you in mind as he suffered the weight and the burden of all of our sins, all the repercussions of our sins, as he suffered the brutality of humanity on the cross. You're never alone. I pray that as we go through the low moments, and I would love to be the kind of preacher that says, hey, if you believe right, if you read your Bible, if you pray enough, you will eliminate all the low moments from your life. I would love to be able to say that. That sounds awesome, but it's BS. It's not true. Nowhere in the Bible is that presented. The name it and claim it and blab it and grab it, everything will be great. It's a steady progression to complete and total right standing with God. It is the greatest love story ever told. Jesus' love for us is gory and rated R and brutal. It's bloody. It ain't pretty. But his love is everything. It holds us. It comforts us. It saves us. You're never alone. My prayer is that in the low moments that are inevitable, that we're reminded that Jesus sank even lower than that so that he could meet you there. He's with you on the bathroom floor. He holds you, and he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's with you through all of it. My prayer is also that we take advantage of a community that is a collection of people and the types of people that are, yeah, me too kinds of people. That we're not in a hurry to fix each other's problems, but we are in a hurry to be there through them. That you're not alone. There's two sides to that equation. A willingness to be able to sit there with people through it. But the other side is a willingness to let somebody sit with you through it. I think some of us are like, I don't want to inconvenience, I don't want to burden, I don't want you, just stay away. And those happen to be exactly the types of people that would run to your rescue. Can I say this? We all need each other, and we need to need each other. We need the presence, the gift of God, the presence of people that he gives us. May we not turn up our nose to this gift that God is trying to give you. We need it. Our souls need it. So, is it okay that this is complicated? Is that all right? Is it okay that I'm complicated? I know that we would prefer consistency and resolution and comfort. All I can say is that's coming. That day is coming. Resolution is coming. Everything being made right is coming. But it's not today. Today is complicated. So, as we experience the ups and the downs, I think it's probably important to do what's displayed in these verses that we read. Maybe it's good to do some soul talking. And I used to think that, it struck me. I read these verses years ago, and I picked up on that thing. Hey, this, the sons of Korah, David, whoever, they're talking to their soul. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why are you burdened? Why are you overwhelmed inside of me? And then here's the instructions. Hope in God. To tell your soul to hope in God. It sounded funny. Then I tried it. I was like, yeah, I get it. Maybe soul talking is exactly what we need to do. To remind our soul that there is hope. And I know where it is. You don't even have to look for it. I'll tell you exactly where it is. To remind our soul, I know this is heavy, I know this is burdensome, I know this is a lot to handle, but let me remind you, Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, he's never going to let me go. This past week, and this is, I'm going to close with this. I'm going to close with some vulnerability, if that's all right. Last week, I was doing some soul talking. I'm reading these verses fresh and anew, and in a combination of these verses and maybe a little bit of a remembering the story of Jonah in his flight, in his running. For the first time in many, many years, in fact, I can't remember the last time this happened, I wrote a poem. It's been, I can't even tell you the last time I did it, but I just started writing where I'm feeling, where I'm at. And I called it Runaway Soul. And maybe part of that is Soul Asylum sang a song called Runaway Train. And here I am again in 1990, whatever. But either way, I wrote it as a way to talk to my soul. And right now I feel just enough courage to share it. And again, I'm vulnerable, so don't throw tomatoes or anything. I'll post it tomorrow, but we'll throw it up on the screen. And again, it's just kind of free verse all over the place, but this is what I wrote. To my runaway soul, it seems your wanderlust has set adrift again. The search for anything while taking nothing in. The weight of the world without the gravity. I must confess my unsteadiness with a steady free fall. I will admit I've forgotten the sense of sea legs beneath me. The exhilaration has settled at the bottom. Can this wind please find another sail? Your constant flight are fights in me. What is this home that you refuse to know? To my runaway soul, the porch light is on. Turn and face hope. These arms reaching through the storm, this soft place to fall into, a love that has chased us all along. There's a lot that happens throughout our lives that forms scars on our soul. There's a lot of moments, things that come up where you can feel your soul flinching. Because life takes a toll on your soul. It hurts. People walk away from us. People break our hearts. People disappoint us. They say harsh, mean, unkind words to us. And for whatever reason, we'll forget all the good, but our soul never forgets the bad. Life is full of very heavy, tough, sad moments. And our soul gets bashed against the rocks. I think it's appropriate. I think it's good and probably necessary to take time to talk to our souls. To remind our souls, there is a soft place to fall into. There is this home. There is this place where you can actually find solace, a port in the storm, arms that hold you tight that are never going to give up on you. There's a place where you can experience love and grace like you've never felt before. It's not just helpful, it's necessary. Because this soul, we get one, and this is all we got, and we still got a lot of runway ahead of us. So to take care of that, to allow God to minister and love and hold and support and heal our soul is vital. So my encouragement is this week, try some soul talking. Have some moments in the car on the way to work. Have some moments out as you maybe start cutting grass and or raking leaves, whatever it is. Have some moments, some time away just to talk to your soul and just to remind your own soul that there is a God who loves you and there is a hope that can come flooding in and change your perspective entirely.